Good morning. What a song. All right, let's open up a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask for your spirit, Lord. May your spirit fill me so I can share your word. May your spirit open the eyes and hearts of those who are listening, Lord. May they hear you and not me. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys know me, the first couple minutes a little shaky. You know, attorneys, we talk too much, too fast, you can't understand us. So I'm going to try to do the opposite today. My message is titled The Hound of Heaven, and the main body of the text is a very well-known text, the parable of the lost sheep. But before we get there, I want to share a little story with you. You know, we're in a very lost world. We see crazy stuff like Dr. Rudy was saying earlier today on television, the news. We think, how can it get worse? And it gets worse. I think even those who don't believe in God can see that there's a fight between good and evil. And those of us who are believers, we know what that fight's all about. You know, it's Wild Card Weekend. We love Wild Card Weekend, a lot of good NFL playoff games. A couple yesterday, one of them Green Bay and Chicago Bears. The oldest rivalry in NFL. They played the most games, they've been around for a long time. It's the oldest rivalry. Well, the oldest rivalry is between good and bad, between God and the devil. And whether you know it or not, they're both fighting for us, fighting for our souls. You know, as a little kid, I remember getting lost at a grocery store. You panic. I mean, as a little kid, you're like, where's mom? It's a scary thing. How many have been lost as a grown-up, as an adult? And I don't mean at the mall like me. I mean lost. I've been lost driving. I've been lost on the way to Tahoe. You know, nothing scarier than snow coming down. You can't see much, and you're lost. But even then, I was in a car. I had a worse experience than that. I used to snowboard a lot. I hope I still do. I'm supposed to take my little boy this year, but I was a pretty avid snowboarder, and you know, you're younger and you think you can do certain things. So remember, you know, it's always the last run, right? It's the last run of the day. I think, hey, I better get a good run in. I see a shortcut to what looked to be a really good run. And as an avid snowboarder, I'd go off trail. I'd go out of bounds. I mean, one of my bucket list of being dropped off a mountain in a helicopter. Back then I was younger and I probably could. So I take this dive down and within seconds, I'm like, wow, maybe I shouldn't have. I look back and there's no way I can truck back. And as a snowboarder, you can't just pull your way back up. You're stuck. You got to take the board and basically make stairs and work your way up. It is a lot of work. So I thought, well, how bad could it be? I'm just going to keep going down, even though I don't know where I'm going. I'm lost. The problem with that is if it's the last run of the day, things start getting a little scary, a little dark. So like a horror movie, I find myself on flat ground, nothing around me, not a house to be seen. And again, as a snowboarder, you can't just, you know, push along with the poles. You got to walk it. So my board comes off, and now I'm walking. And I'm walking. And I'm praying that somebody, that there's a house somewhere I can knock on. Because when you're lost, you search for anything, don't you? If you're lost, I'm gonna go to the first house. I don't care if it says no trespassing. I don't care if they got a shotgun. I want to help. Because you're lost. It got worse. It started snowing. So what I'm thinking in the back of my head, hey, somebody's going to see my footsteps. It was pretty bad. Now, for the first time in my life, I felt like I was in the beginning of a horror movie, and I really didn't think they were going to find me. I didn't even know that Ski Patrol was looking for me. Because, see, Ski Patrol has one job, and that is to find you if you're lost. Lucky for me, somebody in my party told them that I hadn't come back yet. So Ski Patrol, they go out. until they find you. They don't give up, they go out till you find you. I didn't know that. So I'm panicking, I'm sweating. And if you've ever gone in the snow with snowboard or ski clothes, it keeps you warm, but if you start sweating, your sweat can get cold too. So I'm about ready to think, what am I gonna do? It's snowing, it's getting dark. I'm literally thinking, should I just make it like a mini cave, like you've seen the survival things, just so I can make it there. It really was the scariest moment in my life. Just as I'm ready to give up, I see something from far away. Never been glad, never been happier in my life. Ski patrol. It wasn't just anybody, it wasn't a strange house. It was the most appropriate salvation for me at that time, as far as not getting killed or lost. It was ski patrol, not just one, an army of them, like six or seven. I was crying in happiness. It was so joyful. I was so glad they just take me. Of course, they reminded me that it's very expensive when they send the whole crew out, that I could be fined, that, you know, there's serious consequences. But they were very nice about it and just let me go. I came back and brought them a bunch of goodies. When you're lost, you look for anything. Our world is lost. Let me share with you just some of the things that our world is looking for because they're so lost. We all remember the People's Temple. That's where the phrase came, don't drink the Kool-Aid. The Manson family, Heaven's Gate. That was my generation. Heaven's Gate, there were a bunch of people that thought that Halley's Comet was going to bring them to heaven. And so they all put on some purple tennis shoes and that was the end of them. Scientology, we all know about Scientology. Who would have thought that a book by Ron Hubbard would have created a religion? Unification Church. This one called Mother God, she literally claimed that she was Christ. Who would follow that? But people do. People followed her. They call it like the glitter God or something because they had put a glitter around her hoping the aliens would come down. Something crazy, crazy stuff. And of course, modern day, we see all kinds of different replacements. When people are searching, we see riots, protests, we see BLM, we see Antifa, we see all kinds of crazy things. Before I came to Christ, I was searching. I remember joining a men's club, one of those, you know, drum beating, beat your chest kind of men's club. Look back now, it's kind of silly, but back then I was searching. When we are lost, we search. Have you been searching? You know, today should be a reminder, if you know Christ, how far he went to find you. And like the ski patrol, he was not going to quit. He's not going to quit till he finds you. What have you been searching for? What are we replacing our search with? If you don't know Christ, try Christ. You know, the world offers alcohol, drugs, clubs, entertainment, all kinds of things. You've tried it all? Try Christ. A few facts about sheep before I read the parable of the lost sheep. Sheep are intelligent, social, known for their strong flocking instinct, wide vision via rectangular pupils. I didn't know that. Excellent memory. They actually recognize faces. You know that? They recognize their shepherd. Isn't that amazing? As we should recognize our shepherd. They have unique communication skills through their scent glands. They have scent glands in their hands, I mean their face and feet. They have over 1,000 breeds existing worldwide. Baby sheep, lambs can walk minutes after birth. Pretty amazing, huh? So the parable of the lost sheep. So to put things a little bit in context, before Christ shared this parable, they were basically questioning him. They're actually judging him, weren't they? They were judging him for hanging out with sinners. Do you remember what they called him? Friend of sinners. You know, it's amazing how derogatory terms come about. You know, when they first called Christians, it was not a good thing. It was in a derogatory term, those Christians. Well, Christ is a friend of sinners. He was a friend of mine before I came to him. He's a friend of yours. Are you a friend of sinners? You know, I was talking to your brother Nick, about, you know, friends and family we pray for their salvation. I don't think the Lord wants to just isolate ourselves and just be here every Sunday, hear a message, and then go home. That'd be similar to going to boot camp for years and years and never go to war. You see, these Sunday sermons and Wednesdays are like boot camps, getting us ready so that we can be friends with sinners, so we can witness to them, so we can help them come to Christ, right? Our Lord has been called the Hound of Heaven. He hounded me for a very long time, long before I recognized it. In Matthew 11:19, it said, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." So Jesus knew that they were looking at him, judging him for hanging out with sinners. So he shared this parable with them. And by the way, side note, if Christ were to come down right now, yes, he's with us now. We know he's here right now. But if he were to come again in the flesh, where do you think he would go? To the churches? Or do you think he might go to the tenderloin? Or where there's sin? I think even today he would come and hang out with sinners. So let's read this parable. Luke 15, 1 through 6 reads, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.'" I want to point out a couple of things about that parable. First, like the sheep patrol, he looks for you, he searches you, until when? Until he finds you. See, that sheep patrol is not going to turn around after 30, 40 minutes and say, "Well, we tried, couldn't find Dave." They were committed to be out as long as they had to be to find me. Dead or alive, they were going to find me. Christ is more than a sheep patrol. Christ will find you. Christ found me. He does not give up. He is the Hound of Heaven. And you know how you know this? Well, the Bible tells us so. But also, the Lord gives us a lot of miracles right here to remind us of this. I know we all have friends and relatives, and some of us have relatives in their ripe ages. My mom's in her 80s. I know Rick's dad, before he took the Lord, it was in the 90s, 93. I know others here have family and also a very old age, and I know that you're all praying for them to come to Christ. What hope, though? Nobody gave up. I know Rick didn't give up praying for his dad. Decades, sometimes, or more. Just don't give up. I talked to my brother Nick about witnessing, too. You know, you never give up witnessing. You have to witness. You look back at all those folks that witnessed to you before you came to Christ. Do you remember those folks that might have brought up Christ a while back? I do. I remember making fun of them. I remember my 20s, people that came to me and tried to share the word. I wasn't ready, but I had a seed planted. I still think about those folks today. I know who they are. I can't wait to meet them in heaven. Run to them and tell them, hey, remember how you used to tell me I was making fun of you? You were right. Until he finds it. Every salvation is a miracle, an angel celebrated in heaven for you. Until he finds it. Another part of this parable that I really enjoy is where he says he carries the sheep back. He didn't just lead the sheep back. He didn't pull him back. He carried him on his shoulders. You see, sometimes we have to be carried. Sometimes our friends and relatives, they have to be dragged here, or they have to be just helped a lot. I know I had to be carried to God. I was not coming on my own. But he will move the world to find you. The prodigal son, I spoke about that before. I love that story. And the prodigal son, it says that he came to his right mind. But I assure you that he did not do that alone. While the prodigal son was out, God was working on him. He didn't just do it alone. The Holy Spirit helped him. See, when we come to Christ, when you came to Christ, when I came to Christ, it wasn't my doing. I had nothing to do with it. My eyes were open. I allowed it to happen. But it's all him. Even the choice was aided by the Holy Spirit. Does he need to carry you today? Even as Christians, sometimes we have to be carried, don't we? He's also the good shepherd, it says. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Not as a hired hand, but as the owner of the sheep. You know, when you're the owner, there's a big difference, right? My wife and I rented many houses. We moved many times for 20-some years, the majority of our marriage. It wasn't until recently we bought a house, and you know, what a difference. You know, when you're not the owner, you don't care as much. You know, something goes wrong with the house, you're like, hey, owner, come fix it. I'm not going to move a finger. Because it's not yours. As a homeowner, you do it yourself many times. Not just because you're cheap, but because you do a better job. When I first moved into my house, I remember the heat and air conditioner was horrible. It wasn't working. It was rats under the house. It was all torn up. My father-in-law is an HVAC guy, and he helped me out. And he pointed out to me, he says, look, if you hire somebody, they're going to do this, this, and that. He knows. He did that for 30 years. But when it's your own, you go the extra mile. If you were to see it underneath my house in the crawl space, that HVAC system is impeccable. And if I ever need another job, I know how to do HVAC. You take pride in it. It's your own. Well, if that sheep was lost, and instead of the good shepherd, if it was just some hired hand, do you think the hired hand would have laid down his life for the sheep? Of course not. God is not a hired hand. He's our owner. He is the good shepherd. Like the sheep, do you recognize his face? You should. He's gone through great lengths to talk to you. He's gone through great, he'll go around the world to find you. There's no escaping God. Psalm 139:7-10 reads, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So you can't escape God. If you accept him, he's there for comfort and guidance, not condemnation. Here's a hard one to understand. You didn't even choose him. He chose you. Isn't it amazing? He chose us. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me. See, it's not my words, it's the Bible. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. He chose you. If you're saved and you know Christ, he's not looking for you to sit around and do status quo. He's looking for you to work for him, to change lives, to change your life, to spread the word. Again, if your only relationship with Christ and God is just coming here on Sundays, there's a lot more to it than that. From birth until death, he chases you. We all know the story of the thief on the cross. I love that story. It's never too late. So how has God been chasing you? Have you ever pursued something? You know, when you really want something, you pursue it, right? And you pursue it relative to how much you want it. You know, we all lose things. I'll get another one. But if it's precious to you, you look for it. You know, there's a lot of married couples here, and there's some newlyweds here, and I could probably ask you about your courtship. When you wanted somebody, you courted them. You know, men, always be courting. Even if it's 20 years, always be courting. But remember how long and how much effort we put into that courtship? In my case, my wife pursued me for months. Yeah, I know. My kids laugh at that too. They know better. But I remember the effort that I made to pursue my wife. You go through great lengths for what you want. God loves you more than you can imagine. You take that pursuit that you might have of your spouse, you magnify it infinitely, and that's how much love God has for you. So what will he do for you? He will pursue you to the ends of the world. I asked you all earlier if you've ever been lost. Well, I ask you now, have you ever lost something very precious to you? What would you do with that? You know, many of us have kids here or nieces, nephews. God forbid a kid gets lost. What would you do? I know that I would not stop looking for my kid if he got lost. I would search the ends of the world. I would never give up. He's never going to give up on you. I know there's a lot of games today. We're short on time. I don't want to drag this on, but I want to share another story with you. This story how the hound would have pursued me. You see, when I first came to this church, and it's funny because I was talking to another brother about how, you know, you invite people and some stay, some go. Some are like, whoa, what is this? When I first came here, I was like, whoa, what is this? Let's get out of here. My wife was blessed enough to find this church first through Sean DeSilva. Our daughter Sharice going to school, you know the story. And Shauna had the courage, discernment, and the Holy Spirit to know when and how to witness. And what would be unheard of nowadays, a public school teacher witnessed to my wife and she came to church. But you gotta see, before this, we were very lost. We were both in the world, and you know what the world has to offer. What seems to be a lot of entertainment, certainly a lot of partying. And when I heard that my girlfriend, who I was dating at the time, wanted to stop dating and come to church, unheard of. What are you talking about? So I came to check it out. Papa remembers. To me, it was unheard of to come to church Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays lunch, Friday night group, and then Sunday. What in the world? Now, of course, as a young man, I had no problem going to the gym every day. I'd work out every day. Had no problem going to work every day. I had no problem playing sports every day. But going to church every day, that was something else. You see, in the world, we have no problem trying to feed our minds. People go to school forever, some of them. We have no problem feeding our bodies, some more than others. We have no problem taking care of our bodies, going to the gym, looking good. But food for the soul, you don't get, except right here. This is the only way you can work out your spirit, your soul. But again, when I first came to church, I'm like, let's get out of here. So I ran away. At that time, I had a desire to look for my earthly father because, you know, like many people in this country, I come from a divorced family. So I was raised by a single mom. But, you know, when you don't know your father, you're searching. And I always thought, wow, it'd be nice to get to know him, get his side of the story. So when I couldn't pull my wife out of this cult that I thought at the time, I'm like, I'm out of here. So I had a friend that was going to Mexico, Nicaragua, and El Salvador. He did that every year as part of his radio campaign. And he says, hey, he says, if you want to look for your dad, come with me. I'm going to Nicaragua. I'm all, sure. Back then, as a side note, I had a very good mortgage business, so I donated money to different things, certainly not from my heart. It was just to get the tax write-off. One of the places that I donated was one of my co-workers' dad's Christian school that he told us about. I wasn't paying attention. But this little Christian place was in Nicaragua. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, I'm going to go see my dad, but I might as well go check out this place, see if my money ever did anything. So I went to the school, not a school like here. The school was school for the homeless kids. And you've all been to Mexico or Tijuana, and you see little kids sell chiclets or sell things. These kids have no home. Their school was basically at a dumpster, because in Nicaragua, a lot of squatters don't squat homes, but they squat land. And the government allows them to squat in this big dumpster. So these kids had a habit of going to dumpster for a lot of things. And they'd resell some of it. They would paint things and try to sell it. I didn't know that. All I knew is there's a little school that I was going to stop by. When I first went to the school, I walk in, even though they have nothing, I walk, and in this classroom, I see like these banners. I'm like, what in the world? Who are they having over here? It's like this president is becoming. They have this welcome thing everywhere with my name on it. They have drawings everywhere. These kids have been drawing for me. They didn't know who I was. You know, over the years, I saved a few of them just to remind myself of my salvation. Because, see, and if the video crew can put a couple of these up there, it seemed a little bit easier. This one says 2005. So in 05, this year of my salvation, these are little postcards. And they look nice here, but each one of these, if you look at the back of them, is cardboard from the junkyard. And then they would take and draw. Each of these kids did that for me. Because you see, they knew it was coming. And God knew I was not saved. God chased me to another country to remind me that even though I was running away from him, he was right there. I cried. I knew I had to come to the Lord. And when I came back, Sylvia was like, hey, you want to come talk to me more? Yeah. And I gave myself to Christ. I was prime and ready. I always say, the Lord found me in Nicaragua, and I declared it here in front of Sylvia. You see, my biggest obstacle was that I thought I was saved. I didn't think I was lost. After all, I was raised a Catholic, which might have been my biggest obstacle. Because you give me somebody who's non-believer, and like Charlie Kirk, I'll talk them until they believe. Because when you have a clean slate, you don't believe in anything, it's easy to show you where God is. But when you think you know God because you're in a different religion, it's hard to open your eyes. I want to remind you, Christ never said be a Catholic, a Buddhist, a this or that. No, he never. Religion is not what it's about. It's about your relationship with Christ. And see, it wasn't until I actually read the book, because even as a Catholic, you recognize the book. And you read the book and you see where it says that you must be saved. How could you not want to? Yes, as a kid, I had some water sprinkled on me. Yes, as a young adult, teenager, I did some confirmation thing. I had no idea what I did. But I never truly said, Christ, I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Until that day. I know my time's up, so let me wrap it up. But before I do, let me ask you, do you know Christ? If you know Christ, should today be a reminder of what great lengths he went through to find you? All the seeds that were planted, all the folks that worked for you, all the prayers that came. He wants you to come as you are. Whether you're a Catholic, a Protestant, a Baptist, a Buddhist, or an atheist, he wants you to come as you are. If you're saved, be thankful. And go to work. Get to work. Spread the word like he wants you to. It's not status quo. It's not about sitting around here on Sundays. Share your story. I love to tell my story, like this song says. I love to tell the story. And if you don't yet know Christ, perhaps today you need to be carried. Do you want to be found? He's not stopping until he finds you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that you found me. I'm thankful you're here, Lord. But most of all, Lord, I'm thankful for those that you're still searching for those you have not yet found. I pray for them, Lord, for our friends and our family, that they may someday have their eyes open as well. Amen.